Seamus McGrogan here, and I am stepping into the mic, giving Dave a little bit of a break here. And that's because we have some guests live in the studio. We are pleased to welcome into the studio right now Steve Kimmock, who will be playing at Levitt Pavilion Steel Stacks coming up this Friday, June 2nd. It is the kickoff to the Levitt Pavilion Steel Stacks Summer Concert Series, which is a series of free shows that we're pretty excited about. So that is happening this Friday, June 2nd. At 7:30 p.m. So first, we want to welcome Steve. Hi, Steve.
Am I there? Is this thing on?
I think I can hear you now. All right.
Okay, good.
Hey, welcome, welcome. And we also have the members of the Kimmock Band as well. So we want to welcome John on the drums. Hi, John.
Hey.
And we also have Jason and Bobby as well that are in the back heading up some percussion and bass. So welcome, guys, to the studio. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day.
And it was a good day to take some time out of. Trust me.
We want to give a little bit of background for those who may not know Steve. He's a Bethlehem native, so he's coming back home for the show, and he's visiting town again. He has been an innovator in the music scene for many years now, moved to California in the 70s, and has shared the stage with many great musicians, including members of the Grateful Dead, Peter Frampton, Bonnie Raitt, the Allman Brothers, and so on and so on. He's toured solo and now with many other projects, but now he is with this band right here that's called Kimmock. That's right?
That's correct.
So with this project right here, you're in town to play music, and you've just announced your summer shows that are going on. So how's everything going with playing live and touring right now?
Oh, actually, I think it's fantastic. I think the band is in a really good place, you know, just energetically and musically. I think, you know, there's a point to going out and doing this work beyond, trying to make a living, just getting music to people and getting people together. I think this is a good time just generally for that to happen. I think people need to go out and support the arts because it's not going to get supported any other way, you know, and, you know, feed ourselves that way, create some good energy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great advice. And we're glad that you brought your bandmates along here. So what I would love...
I was afraid to leave Bobby, man, at the barn because he'd be like going through all his stuff, man. He'd be looking in my drawers and all that.
Got to keep your eye on him, apparently.
You really got to watch these guys, man.
All right. So what I'd love to talk to you about in just a minute is some of the new songs, some of the new music that you're working on. But right now, since you're all ready right here, you have your instruments in front of you, I'd love to hear a song. But before we do, can you just describe the setup right now and how the band is laid out in the studio right now?
Oh, I was going to do that anyway, man. But yeah, we were hanging out at the barn and looked at the little, you know, looked at the text message, "Go play on the radio." And we're like, oh, go play, you know. So we were kind of dumpster diving around the barn, and I got a really funky old bass that hasn't been played in many years. And I said, "Here, Bobby, here's your bass." Just only mildly insulting relative to the quality of the rest of his instruments. But that bass belonged to my dear friend Doug Green, who passed away many years ago. So it's like, I can't clean it, man, because it's like covered with Doug's DNA, my best friend. And then there's a bunch of room service trays on a towel.
And he's not kidding, actually. We have some room service trays.
Go ahead, hit one of those. This is the deal. See what I mean?
So John has some.
Yeah, the cover is on the room service trays.
Yeah.
What a beautiful sound. And thanks, Wally. Wally left him at the barn. Jason's sitting in the back here with some kind of... What is that? A ceramic Doombeck kind of looking thing and a mallet or a mullet. It's got a thing there, yeah.
Yeah, we're getting a nice, nice bass tone.
Yeah, just dumpster diving.
Yeah.
And then I have a relatively cheesy resonator guitar that's missing frets. It's missing all its frets.
All right.
And we're gonna play a little bit of... Was it basically the sort of the musical seed of this tune that's going to show up on the new record? So this is us sort of in dumpster diving mode, playing a partial performance of Careless Love.
All right, this is Kimmock live in the studio here in WDIY. Kimmock live in the studios here at WDIY. That is Steve Kimmock on the guitar there. John Kimmock, his son and drummer on the drums, on the waiting. What were they called exactly? They were serving plates?
Those are room service covers.
Rooms. Oh, yes. Okay.
For trays.
Covers for the room service plates.
Like that
okay.
one. The little one there was probably a salad.
Little makeshift
and
percussion
that
there.
Big one down on the left there, that was probably the salmon.
Making some beats out of whatever they could find. It's great. But yes, John, his son, no stranger to the airwaves here at WDIY. So it's great to have you back, John. And that is Bobby on bass and Jason also helping out on the percussion as well. And Kimmock will be performing on June 2nd at Levitt Pavilion Steel Stacks here in Bethlehem at 7:30 p.m. That's a free show, part of the Levitt Pavilion Steel Stacks summer concert series. So one of the things that...
We were thinking of using normal instruments for that one.
Yeah, so no serving plates for that one.
I don't know, maybe.
Maybe bring it out, though. It does work well, though. One of the things that we can ask you about, because we have you here, and since you are from Bethlehem, Steve, is what may not be of interest to some other people around the country that you may talk to is definitely of interest to us, because you grew up here in the Valley. And I'm interested in where you got your start musically, and what are some of the memories, the early memories you have of the Lehigh Valley here specifically, and kind of pushing you towards your musical career and eventually going off into California.
The early musical stuff. Somebody just asked me like a similar question, you know, the people ask about influences, you know, 'cause it's like Eric Clapton or whatever, you know. Growing up, you know, at my age here, obviously the first thing that hit, you know, in the pop consciousness, as you became aware that there was popular music, was the Beatles, obviously, you know. And Beach Boys and maybe some Simon and Garfunkel or whatever, some Motown, you know, the stuff that was on the radio. So, in a way that moves you towards it, but everybody has those formative listening experiences where they latch on to you know, that kind of low-hanging fruit.
Sure,
pop culture. But mostly it was my Aunt Dottie, who is a folk singer, Dottie Sifter, actual, you know, like real-life kind of, you know, 60s folk person. She sang with Pete Seeger and Peter Haas and ran this Eastern Cooperative Recreational School up in Massachusetts that did all the music and dance, artsy, craftsy kind of stuff. So that part of the family showed me that, you know, like music was just a possibility. People played music. You'd go to visit my cousins, and there'd be guitars there and auto harps and a piano, and Aunt Dottie with the long black hair, and she'd pick up the guitar and she'd sing songs. So that kind of got that started. Then my cousin Kenny, a few years ahead of me, Kenny Sifter, who's living here in the Valley still, was just getting back from tour of duty in Germany and stalled here like forever on his way back to Tulsa.
Oh, wow.
But if you know anything about Tulsa, it's easy to put like Tulsa like equals guitar or some other, so many great players down there. And I always thought Kenny's, you know, he's one of those guys. And so he showed me, you know, some of the blues and the rock and roll stuff. So as much as there was formative listening, that was the usual, you know, Jimi Hendrix, you know, the legendary types. The influences that stuck were family and close friends, or people that are right in your face with it, you know. But that's how that's how I got started, you know, just family. And then there wasn't a whole lot going on here, and I was, you know, we had a band and we were just sort of stuck out in some corn stubble out there in Springtown somewhere in a little farmhouse, which was nice, but there wasn't really any gigs. And we had some friends that had connections in California and they were like, you should go to California. So we did. We loaded up the truck and moved to Beverly, actually San Francisco. And I got stuck there for 35 years.
Not a bad place to be stuck, I imagine.
Yeah, really. At the time, it wasn't bad. And I was never really in town that much. Most of my time was spent, you know, kind of rurally. If you're aware, in Northern California, it's mostly sticks.
And so, John, you are part of the band here providing the percussion. And you've been on the WDIY airways before. You are around in the Valley occasionally when you perform with your own musical groups. And you were on most recently with your group, Jimmy. Tell me about some of the experiences with playing with your father, Steve, now. And does coming back to the Valley or hearing about his experiences growing up sort of conjure any memories about your musical formative years here?
Yeah, I would say it's mostly the same in that, you know, his influences and what were around him when he was a kid was family, and then a couple of records here and there, stuff that was like kind of unavoidable. Steve and Bobby were, you know, when I was a kid, doing all sorts of gigs, and sometimes I'd get to go along, and if I wasn't going along, they'd come back and they'd be playing in the living room or something. So just because it was, you know, like you said, in your face when you were younger, it was like the first thing anyone was doing. So I kind of latched on to it when I was a kid and tried to, you know, join them.
I want to hop in with a comment just about how the percussion worked out here. Johnny's been playing really since he was two, you know, just like old enough to like get the kitchen cupboard open down there and pull out some pots and pans. And his routine, you know, as a very young I mean, he was an infant, really, man. He'd just grab some, like, stuff like that, a couple of lids or pots or a toy or something like that. He'd arrange them in a semicircle in front of him, and he'd get the sticks, which was as big as he was, and then he'd play his thing. So one day, he's probably three-ish, he says, he's got his little, called it a collection, put the little collection out there, and he says, you want to hear a song I wrote? And I was like, yeah. And so he plays the thing, little patterns and variations and stuff. And I gave the obligatory, you know, parental applause thing. And he looks at me, man, with the most steel-eyed gaze and says, you want to hear it again? And I was like, oh, composer, right, okay, go ahead. And he played it again. And at that point, you know, it was kind of off to the races. It didn't really matter what he was using to, you know, manifest things musically. It was...
Right, so it's really been your whole life, John.
The whole thing.
And getting back to your roots, maybe, because you have just the pans in front of you now, so maybe that's also where you started at.
Back to square one.
It's come full circle right here with Kimok. Well, it's great that you're keeping it in the family here. John, of course, if you've never seen him, is a fantastic drummer, providing all the drums and the percussion here for Kimok in the tour. And Steve, you have a tour coming up. You just announced a summer tour, so you're going to be hitting a bunch of dates across the country. So one of those dates that may be of interest to people listening is Levitt Pavilion Steel Stacks in Bethlehem. That's coming up this Friday. It's a free show, so you can go there at 7:30 p.m. and check out Kimok. And it will be a full band setup, so there won't be any pots, or maybe they will come out. Who knows? And you will also have another band member who couldn't make it today.
Leslie Mendelson, yes, on keys and vocal and sometimes guitar, too.
Right. Okay, and also in the works is a new album. One of the new songs that you came out with is a track that I really love, and I wanted to ask you about this, and I'm going to play it in a second. It's a song called Sagan, and it is a mashup of some vocals recorded from Carl Sagan, and you have put a whole instrumental track behind it and composed this whole piece behind it, which really blew my mind. Number one, because I'm a huge fan of Carl Sagan, but just what you did with all this. So before I play this really quick to close it out, tell me a little bit about how this track came together. What was the thinking behind it?
This is like a 99% John Morgan Kimok composition. I stuck a couple of notes in there, but the idea, particularly the idea of using narration is one of Johnny's contributions to the band. So go ahead.
How it came together was going on archive.org and finding things that are, you know, free license, whatever that's called, you know, free use.
Right.
You could find stuff on there and cutting certain things up into little stories and putting some background compositions in there, but not too much, but just enough to, like, you know, I liked the idea of having like nature sounds coming through PA systems because people aren't used to hearing that, number one. And then just like the narration is not what people are used to if there's vocals, you know, in a track.
Right.
And then so I made kind of like a template and then played it for these guys, and then they composed the bass lines, guitar lines, and key lines stuff, you know, around it. So that's how it came together.
Well, it came together really well. I didn't expect it at all, but if you're itching for some new material from Kimok, you can go onto the website, and this is one of the two new songs you could download for free. So I'm going to play this, and we're going to look forward to the new album. But Steve and John and the rest of the band has quit out. But Steve and John, Kimok, thank you so much for being here.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
And Kimok is performing June 2nd at Levitt Pavilion Steel Stacks here in Bethlehem at 7:30 p.m. It's one of the first of the free shows for the Levitt Pavilion Steel Stacks shows. So we're going to close out with the track called Sagan. Thank you again, guys, and good luck on the show.
Thanks. Thank you.
In all that time, there was not a hint of life. Not a blade of grass, not a footprint, not a kangaroo rat, not a microbe, not even a single organic molecule. It says something about the uniqueness and preciousness of what we have around us.
I And today there are three. Brand X. Brand Y. Brand Z.
And yet.
Far more tantalizing.
Everybody did it.
Only a few generations ago.
Heads up, she's coming down.
Safe. But today, the situation is different. It is clear. We have made great changes in the past.
Time there was not a hint of life, not a blade of grass.